My guest today is the Chris Special, myspace.com/the Chris, K-R-I-S, Special. We're going to start by listening to a track from their CD, then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff, so stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Chris Special. How's it going, guys?
Hey, going pretty good. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for coming out on a lazy President's Day. Yeah. Who's your favorite president?
I think Lincoln.
Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln?
Yes.
You win the prize.
I don't like Lincoln. He's too tall.
No. Yeah, he's you know, he's like people make such a big deal out of him.
Stupid
yeah.
hat. Don't like it.
He's no President Coolidge. I'll tell you that.
See, or Coolidge.
He's no
cool.
Grover Cleveland.
Party on, dude.
All right, let's just sort of go around and tell me who you are and what you bring to the Chris Special. Let's start that way.
Okay, I'm Anne, and I'm the lead singer / lead guitar player. Of the band. I also write most of the songs. But we're a trio, so I guess I'm the guitar player, singer. So that's what I do.
Excellent.
I'm Nick. I play drums and other assorted percussion.
He likes to beat things.
I hit things.
My name is Jeremy. I'm the bass player. I sing sometimes.
So how much of this is Anne and her band, and how much of it is sort of these three people that get together and make music?
I think it's a trio. I mean, you know, yeah, we try and keep it, you know, equal. But I guess it's just when we first started, I was pretty much the one writing most of the songs, and it kind of continued that way. Nobody else really stepped up and wrote a lot of songs, and it kind of just became that way. But with the newer stuff, we're going to start collaborating more and stuff like that. But we like to try and keep it equal.
But was it always a band, or did it just start with like a girl and her guitar, and then you found people to play with?
It was always a band. It started with me and Ann together, and we had a different bass player, and went through a bunch. But it was always a band, and now we are
definitely
powerful trio. Yes. Yeah,
power trio.
And how long have you guys been playing together as the Chris Special?
Since about 2001.
Yeah, that's when me and Ann started the band. Jeremy just joined us back in August. Yeah, August.
Something like
last
that.
August.
I don't know. Last August. I'm just along for the ride.
I don't know where I am. You tell me I'm in this band, but
just give me a beer and I'll play a song. That's all I know.
Well, we'll get into a little more detail about how like each of you sort of came into this band, what you contributed to. Why don't we just right off the top jump into a live song? What would you like to play for us first?
Let's see. I think we'll do a song called
Dead Air.
Yeah, sorry. No,
a
no
song
dead
called
air.
Dead Air. That's a good idea.
Nick, what do you think we should do?
Do Poor Boy.
Poor Boy. Okay, we'll do Poor Boy. It's a little bit more upbeat.
Okay, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Chris Special. Yeah.
Okay. Please, Mama, don't you cry. I'm just a poor boy in a field. I am. I told her one day I'd be back before the day I died. Now I'm dead. I'm waiting for a train. I'm waiting for a train. She left me by myself. Now I'm dead. I told her she'd be mine again for the day I died. Now I'm dead. I'm waiting for a train. I'm waiting for a train.
Yeah, that was a great start to the show.
Oh, thanks.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Chris Special. Talk to me a little bit about genres and genre bending. There seems to be like sort of an Americana vibe to your music, but it's not country music. And at the same time, you know, there's obviously indie rock influences, but you wouldn't just throw it in the pool with the rest of the indie rock sound. So what do you guys think of when you think of genres?
I mean, we're influenced by
everybody. Hates that question.
I know.
You ask a band any John. What? You know, well, we don't sound like that. No, we don't sound like that. We're not like them. But we aren't. We're not like very many other bands. Anne draws a lot of stuff from old country stuff that's really good, but we do have a lot of a pop rock sensibility. You know, good melodies are, you know, pretty much the main concern. And
Genre wise, I mean. One time I told this guy at Amoeba, he asked me what we sounded like, and I said, well, we're inspired by old country and old punk, but we're definitely a rock band. And I think that, and Jeremy agreed that that was, like, pretty sum it up, you know. But yeah, we're not exactly indie rock, and we're not exactly punk, and we're not exactly country. I think it just comes from, I mean, with songwriting, I think I'm just heavily inspired by listening to country music when I was a kid and listening to old punk when I was, you know, a preteen. And it's like, I can't write songs that are outside of that kind of definite, like, folk based,
it's
you know,
melded
four chords.
Into your brain.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like ingrained in my soul, you know, it's like in my blood.
What would you say are some of the fundamental differences from the country music that you grew up and became influenced by and what is called country music today?
It's a pretty big difference. Yeah.
I mean, to me, like, if you're talking about, like, new country, like, stuff you hear on the radio now, it's pop, you know? It's definitely pop music. And it's written, I mean, I don't want to bag on, you know, new country music.
It's the dumbest crap.
It's just, you know, it comes from...
Let me defer to my colleague.
Yeah. Nick will say what I'm thinking without me saying it.
There's this one song, there's this one song, I think, I can't remember who it is. I think it's Brad Paisley.
Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's that one.
Let's not diss on people.
What are you talking about? That song rules.
That's not Brad Paisley, by the way. That's Trace Adkins.
Well, let me rephrase the question to say, what is it that you, instead of saying what is it that you don't want or like about new music, what is it that you really, really resonated with you about the older style
what
of country
music? What I
was
going to say was that... you know, the new country definitely comes from a pop, you know, mindset, and it comes from a selling records thing. And country music, old country music, definitely came from a, you know, almost like the blues. Like, it was kind of something that people had to do or they wanted to do it just for kind of the sake of doing it. And I mean, that's definitely why I do music and why I do art, is because it's like a martyrdom, like you can't escape.
And plus, it's expressing emotion back then a lot more than it is today.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
It was
and it's
more
not written by
honest.
A team of people. It was written by maybe one
not
or
written
two
by
people.
Committee.
Exactly.
And it didn't come with a dance.
And like the country music that we were talking about this earlier, actually, but like country music to me, it's the old stuff I listen to. My favorite stuff is stuff that's dark and heavily romantic and... just kind of airy and stuff like that. And that's really what I try and bring out of the country music that I write, is kind of like a darkness, and not necessarily like a darkness, like gloomy, but, or like gloom and doom. It's not like Misfits dark. It's like, you know, it's a sadness to it, you know, and that's kind of originally where it came from, like old Hank Williams songs and stuff like that. Even though it's still pop sounding, like it's very major chord, it's still very sad, like at its core, you know.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the themes in that old music too is sort of themes like loss and yearning and sort of being removed from society and kind of reaching out for something that's like far away from you. And is that come up a lot in your writing? Are there certain themes that you come back to lyrically?
Well, you mean like reaching out for?
Well, just like, what are the kind of things that you like to write about, like the ideas? That...
Well, I mean, a lot of the songwriting, lyric-wise, comes from, you know, definitely like life experiences with, like what you said, loss, with love, and with maybe even basic, you know, life sadness. A lot of the stuff lyrically I'm inspired by is definitely, like I said, life experiences, and also living in the desert where I'm from, like, and kind of being inspired by that, and having, when I was a kid, like having a love-hate relationship with it that turned into pretty much a love and unescapable influence from it. So it's kind of like once you live there so long, you can't escape being influenced by the scenery and the air and the wind and stuff like that.
It's funny, you wouldn't think that there's hicks just half an hour away from L.A. Yeah. But go to Annstown.
Yeah, and definitely.
Them desert hicks are
you
fucking...
might as well be in backwoods. Yep. Definitely.
Well, and that's its own kind of country. I mean, maybe it's not full of trees, you know, but it's...
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
It's,
I mean,
it's country in the sense that it's not city, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It snowed there, too, just like a week ago. It was crazy.
It snows
in L.A.
Let's listen to another track from your CD. Now, you guys have been together for quite a few years now, but is this a debut full length?
This is debut. The reason it took so long is because we did it all ourselves, pretty much. We researched, we bought a computer, we bought a...
Build a recording
Mark
studio
of the
from
Unicorn
scratch.
Device. You know, we'll promote them because it came in handy, and it was a good device.
We basically built the whole studio from scratch and learned how to use it in the process of making this album.
So,
we re-recorded
a lot of those songs are like three or four different takes to, you know, really cap. We had to learn how to go from being a live band and being good as a live band and then trying to capture what the song should sound like on a record. We had to learn how to play differently because it's way different, of course.
So for the first several years, you guys were out there playing live a lot and then sort of saying, like, you know, stick around, we'll have a record for you at some point.
We really paid our dues, especially like in...
How many shows now? 200?
We're up there.
I mean, 125. 25?
I don't know.
Especially in the beginning. We played a lot, we love to play live and, we're, you know, it's fun. But, like I said, recording the album was way different and we had to learn how to do it and... Finally, it's done, and we're excited, and yay.
It will be released tomorrow.
Yes,
fantastic!
The official release date.
It drops.
Yeah, our album
drops
tomorrow night.
All right, we'll do a special pre-release exclusive listen right now to a track of your choice.
Let's do I Sleep Loads of Times, since I was talking about Dark Country.
No, okay, fine. Yeah.
This is a great song. It's called I Sleep Alone Sometimes.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guests are the Chris Special. Stick around. We'll be right back.
So many stars I've seen at night. Usually I'm in bed at night. I don't love you, or something crazy like that. So many miles I've walked. Thank you. heard walk at night. I hear the hooves knock, I hear the meeting, the breathe, the dust they kick up.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the Chris Special, playing live, and how you guys have, you know, played live a lot until you got this album released, and I imagine you continue to play out live a lot. Mm-hmm. You said you were a live band and you kind of had to teach yourselves how to be recording artists. Did you get anything out of the recording artist part of the Chris Special that you really like, or was it just a lot of work and you prefer to think of yourselves as a live band?
You know, I think it's kind of strange, like, you bring that up, because it's true. Like, on the record, we sound a lot different than we do live. Like, live, we bring a lot of, you know, I mean, it sounds kind of dorky.
It's a little more energy.
Punk attitude, you know? Like, I can't really... Yeah. Like, maybe the punk influence comes out more on stage, and then on the record especially, like, we wanted to respect the country songs and kind of give them, you know, a good sound. But getting stuff out of the recording process, I mean... I got so much out of it. Like, I'm so glad we took our time and got a good recording. And I mean, I was going through college at the time as an art major, and like using that kind of influence too, like talking about theory and like trying to express your emotions correctly and stuff. Like it helped. It was like a really good experience, actually, recording the album, making art, and going to college and learning about that process at the same time. And like, but yeah, getting stuff out. I mean, I feel like, now after this album that we're excited to make, you know, the second album in a couple years, you know,
album.
I mean, I love recording. I totally eat it up, you know, like recording to me is as fun as playing live. So
we're just waiting for the $1 million record deal.
Well, that'll happen right after this show.
Exactly.
So you guys want
to tour
been...
with Not a Surf and
where's the ass I should kiss? Where?
You guys must have been really familiar with these songs, though, when you started to lay them down, because you've been playing most of them live for a long time. That probably...
Totally.
That must have had some effect, because I guess a lot of bands are like, oh, we got this new song, we got to go record it, and then
well, these
we'll
are the earliest
live.
Songs of the band, actually, so that's why it is the debut album. It's all the oldest songs, and then there's a ton of newer ones.
Yeah,
so.
We got a ton of new songs for the next couple records or record. but, like, actually, the first song on the album, April of John, was the first song I brought to the band, like... when I was 18, now I'm 25, so hella long time ago. But
hella,
yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, those songs are our oldest songs, and we kind of thought about that when we recorded the album. Like, let's put the older songs on and get that, you know, artistic vibe out there first, and then because our newer songs are a little bit, they're either a little more rough around the edges or a little bit darker. That stuff's more of our poppy kind of. Majory sounding stuff.
Did you sort of discover some new things about those songs that you had been so used to playing that now that you sort of broke
absolutely.
It down into the recording process, they were like, oh, we can do this with the song or that?
Yeah, actually, I've noticed that the, you know, these songs that are seven years old, they still are evolving for me. Like, I certain
That's
things
fun.
I play. Well, when Jeremy joined, it completely changed a lot of this stuff for me, and I play off of what he does, which is completely different than the record. And I saw, was 2001, I think, we saw Bob Dylan play live, and you know, he's playing this stuff that is, you know, 40 years old, and he plays it completely different, and it's really cool to see that these songs never stopped evolving for him even after 40 years.
I guess that's what makes for a really good song, is it's sort of like it's a living, breathing thing. It's just, if you're just recreating it over and over again, then it was never really that good to begin with.
I think especially a lot of the songs on the album, once we started laying them down, like when they were live songs, they were maybe just kind of cute pop rock or pop punk songs or something like that. And then a darkness came to them, like definitely, I think with, it's just like some, I mean, not to sound like weird or anything, it's just like this, it's like our sound has a lot of a underlying like kind of moodiness, darkness to it. And especially like Poor Boy, which was kind of more of a pop rock song. I remember a member of ours who lives in Olympia now played Lap Steel on it, and he was like, afterward recording it for an hour or so, he's like, wow, I really get it now after you've been explaining to me, go darker, go darker, go darker, like with the Lap Steel, because he wanted to play kind of more, you know, majory, because the song is all major chords. But I kept on telling him, like, go darker, like get the moody outness out of it. So like especially that song, and like the last song on the album, Shadow Smart, like that song was definitely a fan favorite, kind of like poppy song. And then on that recording, it's got like a moody darkness to it, that so like a lot of that came out of it. And it was surprising and a good surprise. And like Nick said, when Jeremy joined, I think that it really solidified like the kind of energy that I always wanted in the band. Like, so it made it, you know, easier for us to be that kind of band with the, with what he brought. So
I dance more.
Yeah.
In a dark way.
Yeah.
In a
dark way. I just feel like right now the band's, you know, at a really good spot artistically, like with, you know, us, like with Nick playing the way he plays and Jeremy playing the way he plays and me playing the way I play, like I'm really confident now. Like I feel like this is the point where we can go out there and be like, this is us, and I can feel comfortable completely with saying that, you know.
It's a good time to release an album.
Totally, exactly. Yeah. I'm
hey,
I'm
this would be a
it.
Good time to get a new guitar player on the air. Well, we're looking for a new guitar player. No.
So let's jump into another live song, but just I will mention it again later in the show, but you guys have your CD released tomorrow at the Echo.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that out loud on the air.
Thank you.
Echo tomorrow, which is, I don't know what day today is, but tomorrow is the day
Tuesday.
After.
Tuesday. It's February 19th.
February 19th. 2008. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
What would you like to play for us now?
We're going to play a song called Sometimes I Don't Understand. It's another kind of country song. Yeah.
All right.
It's on the album.
Whenever you're ready.
Thanks. I just caught my reflection in the window, and there is pain in my eyes. I don't understand. There is pain in my eyes. I don't understand. Sometimes I don't understand the things that make you mad. I don't understand. I don't understand. Sometimes I don't understand the things that make you sad. I don't understand. I don't understand. Sometimes I think the things that you are saying you can say without thinking or knowing what the words could be meaning or showing. Sometimes I don't understand the things that you're feeling. I don't understand. I don't understand. Sometimes I don't understand the things that I'm feeling. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand.
I don't understand the things that make you mad. I don't understand. I don't understand. Sometimes I don't understand the things that make me sad. I don't understand. I don't understand.
Awesome. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is The Chris Special. I assume myspace.com/TheChrisSpecial is the place to go
Chris
to get the latest up-to-date information.
Yes.
And what's the significance of the name of the band?
Go for it.
Okay. When we were going to
it's
junior college.
It's a saucy story.
Oh, yes. When we were going to junior college in Santa Clarita, where Jeremy's from, we... would always eat at this diner called the Way Station. It was pretty much the only kind of, you know, truck stoppy diner place in Santa Clarita, because Santa Clarita is pretty, you know, suburban. And we love to eat there. They have awesome breakfast. And there's this plate of food called the Chris Special. And it's hash browns, two eggs, two pieces of bacon or sausage, two English muffins, and all of that is covered in your choice of sausage or chicken gravy. And I literally mean covered. Like, the plate is...
Oh, my gosh.
Smothered.
It's like nasty. An ocean of gravy. But, yeah, tomorrow with the show...
That's actually another good name for a band, an ocean of gravy.
Ocean of gravy. That might be like an EP or something.
Yeah, the ocean of gravy EP.
But, yeah, tomorrow, if anybody wants to check out what a Chris Special looks like, I'm going to go get one and put it on display at the Echo on
awesome.
A plate. And but nobody should eat it because it's going to be like probably eight hours old because they close at like 3
and
p.m.
And it's covered in gravy.
Yeah.
That's why.
And it's like eggs. Yeah. You don't want to eat eggs
Fling
after
it at the
like
audience
15
at the end
minutes.
Of your show.
Yeah. Green Day style. Like the mud. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah. So that's what the Chris Special comes from.
All right.
So yeah.
We have their blessing for taking.
Yes.
Taking
oh, that's
they're
good.
Very yeah. nice about yeah. it. We they're very nice people.
Actually, the manager one time he wrote to me and said he was the manager of the Way Station, and he'd seen one of our flyers up at a show at a place where he was playing with his band. So he was like, yeah, I'm cool with it. Just so you know,
just so you know, I own the rights to your name. Yeah. What makes for a really good live show for you guys? Do you judge it based on your performance, based on the audience reaction, based on the sound of the venue, or a combination of all these things?
Well, personally, I mean, I can only
any of those
for
things
myself.
Could make or break a show.
Yeah.
I mean, if the sound on stage is horrible, it can just put you in a bad mood.
Totally.
And then, you know.
I mean, I can only say, like, my personal opinion is that if it's a good show for me, if especially I played well, and if, you know, we played well as a band, we sounded, you know, tight, and we had fun. And nothing got stolen or broke. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah, nobody barfed on stage or anything like that. So it's pretty much, I mean, to me, it's more of like a, if we played well and we had a good time, it's really the most important, but it's always nice if people are dancing and liking it. And, you
they
know,
generally go hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you're playing bad, a lot of times you can kind of tell, you know, from the audience, it's really depressing. Mm. And it makes the show worse. It makes me like, be like, why am I even up here singing?
I want to go home.
Yeah, I want my mommy. But,
do you think there are certain kinds of venues you guys really excel in over other kinds of venues in terms of like the size of the room or the kind
totally.
Of people who go there?
You know, I think we really have the best shows at divey ass skanky bars, you know, where there's no stage. It's a floor and it's smelly and old. Like
Anne.
Like me. I feel at home.
But like where you're not so far removed from the audience.
Yeah. Like whenever there's a big stage and like,
I think it loosens you up a lot too. I know.
Yeah.
I know I've gotten on smaller stages and been like, oh, this will be fun. And then I just rock it a lot mm-hmm. harder. You know, that show we played in, Santa Barbara with the really big stage, I got so nervous because it's just a huge stage, you know?
Yeah. We come from a background of playing, you know, kind of small coffee shops and Mr. T's, which I love. I mean, personally, that's my favorite venue to play and be at. It's just comfortable. And coming from that, when we get to like a really nice club that's polished and like all like swanky and stuff, and they want to mic every drum, I get super nervous.
It's kind of off-putting, huh?
Totally. It's not like I don't like them. It's just like, oh my God, this is like a show. You know, it's like when you go to a bar and you're just like loading your stuff, it's like, cool, we're going to play this bar. And these people are going to like it. And then I'm going to get a beer. You know, it's like when you're playing this cool club that's really like, you know, tricked
out. Almost like you're a professional or something.
Yeah, it's almost like we're supposed to be doing this.
I was at a club recently and I was told by the security guard that I couldn't stand where I was standing. Huh. I had to stand on the dance floor because I was blocking the walkway. And there were only like 20 people in the club, in this like big club. And like I had to basically like walk 3 steps forward to satisfy this sort of, I don't know if it was like an OSHA thing or what, but it was not rock and roll. I'll tell you that.
There's a fire lane.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever played a show like that where there's a security guard, but
any security guard.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, that's where we probably have our best shows. And also probably shows where it is a big show and we've been preparing and being like, oh my God, we have to play good. Then usually we're okay.
Like tomorrow.
Or like, you know, when we play Spaceland or something, it's like, oh my God, we're playing Spaceland. Okay, we better play good. Or the Troubadour. Oh my gosh. You know, like we were so nervous and then we played a pretty good show. It wasn't like, it's like weird. It's like live shows. There's like different notches. You know, there's bad show. There's really bad show. There's bad show. And then there's like good show where everybody played well, but it didn't have that like oomph. It didn't have the energy. And then there's like awesome show, and then there was this one show at this place called Billy O's in Ventura, what to me was like our best show ever. Again, it's like a divey bar, and that show just was like, you know, we should have been recording that, you know, like that was the most awesome show ever. You know, I just felt so like
the energy just clicked.
Totally.
Definitely.
It was such an energetic, great show. But yeah, that's, yeah,
let's listen to another track from your CD.
Okay,
let's do it.
What do you think?
Let's do the fast one. Yeah. Yeah.
This one is called The Fast One.
Well, it's called Shadow Smart.
This one is called Shadow Smart.
Track 13?
Yes.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Chris Special. We'll be right back with some more live stuff.
Better that I guess than days. Now I'm thinking.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Chris Special, and they have their CD release show at the Echo tomorrow, February 19th, 2008. Name of the CD, Alone Feels Like a Hotel Room. Great name for an album, by the way.
Thank you.
Jeremy, tell me about what you do in this band as a bass player that maybe is different from what you would be doing in another band. Like, did you sort of learn how to play with the Chris Special, having come in after the sort of songwriter was already established?
Well, this is the first band I've played bass in, but I've played bass before, and I've played guitar a long time, and I was in school playing music like pretty much my entire life, like random instruments. But what was the question? What's my role in the band?
Just sort of like what you do, like what you do as a bass player in this band that's sort of specific to the Chris Special, you know.
Well, especially being a three-piece, you know, on the songs that rock harder, I try and bring a good heavy edge to it. I even step on a distortion pedal every now and then, which is crazy. Basses don't do that, but I do. But I try and, you know, of course, just groove the rhythm section and back up and songs as much as they need it. And there's a lot of instrumental parts that we kind of rock out in, and we all have a lot of fun doing that. And
Jeremy has really brought a new level of energy to us.
It kind of needed it live too. The music's always been really good, but you know, the more energy on stage, the better. And stuck behind a microphone. Of course, Nick's moving around because he's playing drums, and so like the bass player needs to dance a little too.
It's just, know? Yeah, like I said earlier, like
I'm the dancer, Jeremy, in the band.
I think Jeremy gets the songs really, really well. Like we're all super close, but you know, like we've known each other for a long time. I think he totally gets like where I'm coming from with the songs and can really capture the mood that I've always wanted in the songs. And it's kind
of
like,
I've been a fan of the band for years. Yeah. And so I already knew the songs when I joined.
That must make a huge difference.
It's a really big difference.
If you don't understand the music, you're never really going to be able to contribute fully to the song.
Yeah, he's got
They used to play at my coffee shop in like 1999 or something like that, 2000 or something.
That was another millennium ago.
Yeah, I was doing you know, the musical booking for a coffee shop, and they played all the time, and that's how I met him actually. So yeah.
And Jeremy actually played with us a few years ago when we did a show as the Chris Fits, a Misfits cover band. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy helped out with that, playing guitar.
Cool. All right. You guys ready for another live song?
Sure.
What you going to play, Ann?
This is a new song, and it's called When You Have to Be Seen the Next Day, and it's like it's an example of like another darker country song.
And Nick, are you going to do some percussion with this?
Nick's going to do a little percussion on this.
All right. So, yeah. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Chris Special.
Got deserts in my mind. Their simple lines are so fall.
shit, you. That was awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, can
thank
I curse you, on my own show? I hope so.
Oh, thank, oh, thank you. Wow. Yes. Applause from the other room.
Yeah. Some guy just randomly walking by, like, climbed up the window, say hello. That was wild.
Thumbs up from outside.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, so you can, you know, that really, that sort of style of like sort of gradually building up the percussion, yeah. You know, it's like that's such a great way to kind of get the audience involved and get them like, you know, really sort of building up that big climax.
Totally. Like, actually, when Jeremy, before he learned the name of the song, he called it the crescendo song.
Yeah.
Like, we have little nicknames for our songs just so we know we can like say it quickly. And
we have a song that used to be called the puke it. Song.
Yeah.
But then we changed the name.
Puke yeah, song, that. Fast song, crescendo song.
The new one.
The new yeah. song.
Everybody has a song called yeah, the new yeah. one.
Totally.
Yeah.
I need to rename that one.
Yeah. The other new one. Uh-huh. The newer new
newer
one.
One. We had one yeah. called
the
newer one.
One. Uh-huh. Even newer.
That was actually sometimes I don't understand.
Yeah, that's right.
It was
yeah.
the newer one. And then I renamed it. Right.
And she has yeah. like 7 untitled songs and like track blank and yeah. untitled 0.3 and stuff.
Do you write a lot of songs and then you kind of pick from those songs what you're really going to work on? Or do you follow each song through to the end and then title it last?
Pretty much when I write, I, you know, of course, have an idea either on the guitar or a melody that I'm singing around the house doing whatever. And I write the song pretty much in one sitting usually. And if I forget it, I don't. You know, follow through with it. Of course, I feel like it wasn't good enough. And then usually if it's good enough to remember and it's good enough that it gets stuck in my head and that I play it and I want to play it, like I go to my guitar and want to play it, then we'll follow it through and I'll bring it to the band and see if they like it. And they do the same thing too.
And then we say, we don't like
yeah.
this.
You suck. You're well, drying up.
And then do you guys sort of bring sort of like, oh, well, what if I, you know, did this with the percussion or what if I did this with the bass? And then yeah. you sort yeah. of watch the song evolve from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I write like, you know, of course, the melody and the chords, but they write their parts. Definitely. I mean, we help each other out. Like, what if you do this? What if you do that? But usually we take care of our, you know, our instruments, you know, duty.
We've all got, like, both of them can play the drums. Jeremy can sing. He can play guitar. I can play bass. I can play guitar.
So you understand each other's instruments.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's great.
And we've all produced stuff. Mm. We get how it all works. So, you know.
We like to help each other arrange.
It's a team effort, definitely.
Exactly.
Cooperation is fun.
And what came for you first? Was it playing guitar or singing?
Well, I always actually wanted to be a singer. My grandmother, she sang jazz, or not jazz. Well, what
big
would you
band.
Call it? Big band jazz with my grandfather.
Sweet jazz.
He was, it's like ballroom jazz or something like that.
In the 40s.
He played clarinet in a band. He was the leader of the band. He was a Chuck Foster Orchestra.
I was at a thrift store the other day, and I found a record, an old LP of her grandpa's.
Oh,
band.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't famous. They had their own radio show, but, you know, not, of course, a lot of fame, but you know they did okay. And she sang with his band for a while, and I always liked that, you know, about my grandma, like that, you know, that was cool. I thought that was cool. And I always loved music. And I remember 7,
cooler than my grandparents.
Well, I remember when I was 7, I put headphones on and
doesn't matter, she's not
in.
Listening.
Jeremy.
She doesn't even know what a computer is.
Oh my gosh. But I remember putting a tape in my little Walkman thing and putting on headphones and going like, I called my grandmother Nandy. I was like, Nandy, listen to me sing. Do you think I could be a singer? Like, and I put headphones on. I'm sure it was horribly off key. And like, I went out there and I was like bugging her, and she was kind of thinking like, she would tell me, you don't want to be a singer. And then my grandfather would tell me like, musicians are, you know, bad people. You don't want to be a musician. My grandfather always used to tell me that. And I'd be like, but granddaddy, I want to be, you know, no, it's, you don't want to be that. You go get a real job. But, so I mean, I guess I always kind of wanted to be a singer. And then, it was weird, like when I was in sixth grade or something, didn't really even listen to music. And then the Beatles anthology show came on ABC when I was like 11, and I fell in love with the Beatles. And I immediately got a guitar when I was like 11 or 12 and started pretty much writing songs immediately as soon as I learned a few chords. So, I mean, I guess it was something that it was, I was supposed to do, you know, kind of just happened.
And have you seen your voice sort of develop over the years as you learned how to sing to your songs?
Yeah. Like when I first started out, we would record the shows, and that's a good thing, by the way, like for younger bands or new bands, record your shows, listen to your shows. We would do that a lot. And I would listen to my voice and be like, oh my gosh, I sound so horrible. And then I would try and, you have to kind of, you know, with my natural singing voice wasn't good. Like, so I had to kind of change it. You know, I had to put a little bit more treble in there. Like, I was very throaty and like, I tried to push through the face mask more, you know, like I had to learn, you know, we did music in college. But anyway,
use your diaphragm as it were.
Totally. I know you have to learn how to sing.
After you take it out of your vagina.
I really suck ass. We can say that. Wait, what? The diaphragm?
Sorry.
Oh, sing with the diaphragm.
I said sucked ass right as you said diaphragm. And vagina. Oh, that was anyway, classy. But yeah, I mean, I sucked, you know, and so I had to learn how to sing better. I mean, I still, of course, I don't think I'm perfect. I don't think I'm that great, but, you know, better than when I was 18, you know.
But you sort of feel like you're in control now of your vocal instrument.
And this is a horrible promotion for cigarettes, but after I started smoking cigarettes, I feel like I've got more control of my voice somehow. I don't know. I know it might be mental.
See how good you're sounding when you're 16. Yeah.
You burnt out those octaves that you won't use anymore.
Totally. Like Raymond Richards.
She coughs with perfect pitch.
He said something like there must be too much air like behind you and like that had to cut out some of your lung capacity or something. I don't know.
That's great. I hope those kids you were just saying should listen to the shows, I hope they're not listening anymore.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Smoking.
Yeah.
Yay.
Anyway, smoking. Yeah, I smoke. Sorry. Anyway.
Let's do another live song.
Okay.
I smoke crack.
Smoke them if you got them.
Sorry.
What do you want to play?
Let's do a Little Red Song. I'll do kind of a upbeat song. This song's on our MySpace. It's on our album, yeah.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Okay, cool. Look at my little red truck and you'll find my keys to the black car that sits in my driveway. Next to them you will find the bracelets that I made from the beads that you gave me. That I made from the beads that you gave me. I made them from the beads that you gave me. Better. I have tapes of his hanging on my wall. And there's a spider crawling on my ceiling. He's been in my room for weeks, maybe months. Another one is crushed on the carpet. He's been dead there for days, maybe weeks. He's been dead there for days, maybe weeks. He's been dead there for days, maybe weeks.
The scene is good on killradio.org. My guest is the Chris Special. That was like a fun short one.
Yeah.
That one live is a lot of fun to play. A lot of energy.
Jeremy's bass line, he wrote like a new bass line. That bass line is kick ass.
Boom, doom, doom, doom.
It's really good. Anyway.
Oh, is that how it goes? It's
just
yeah. He can.
I wish I could be playing right now. Oh, well.
I know.
Have you seen your audience take away from your music, or what would you like for them to take away from your music when people do come up to you after shows and say, oh, you know, I really respond to the lyrics or the vibe or it makes me want to dance or, you know, what do you
usually?
I think the best comment that I've heard about Anne's music is just that it's very, very honest. She's gotten that a lot from people, that it just seems very sincere. You know, it's captivating most of the time, you know, to see someone just pouring their heart out on stage, you know. So
that's it. And also, you know, because I've had other country influenced bands in here, and that seems to be the other thing that they point out is the major difference between the old school of country and the new school is sincerity. It's actually singing honestly, singing about things that actually matter to you
and they actually happen.
Yeah,
usually. There was this one girl from Blake's in Berkeley, and she, her name, what was her name?
Pilar.
Nick?
Pilar.
Pilar. Yeah. She wrote us on MySpace and told us about how, the album really helped her through a depressing time or something like that, and how it made her feel better. And like, to me, that is exactly, you know, what I would love my music or our music to do, is to help people feel better, like even just like driving down the street, like make them feel cool, make them feel happy, or, you know, make them feel like they can relate, you know, of course, to some of the sadder stuff. Like,
well, even a sad song can kind of make you feel good.
Yeah,
if it sounds like it's connecting
comforting
with what you're feeling. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I mean, to me, like, that's just kind of, you know, to me, like, it would be great to have this be our job. Like, I want it to be our job. But kind of doing the whole artistic reaching out to people, like helping them, or like expressing our emotions and having people relate, and like having this circle of,
that's what it's all about,
you know. Totally.
Circle of love.
Exactly.
Circle of life.
Circle.
Well, sort of along those lines, what do you guys have in the horizon? Like, where do you see the Chris Special going from here? You already mentioned you're already working on some new material for your next record. What else? Do you guys want to go on tour? What kind of...
Yeah, we're going to be doing a bunch of things coming up. We're going to...
We've been touring.
Yeah, we've been touring a little bit. We're going to tour. We're going to promote the hell out of this album. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to hopefully start to work on the next album. Mm-hmm. But we want to write some more. We want to write some songs together. We want to just... There's all kinds of...
We want to grow as a band, artistically and, you know, success-wise. I think we're trying to promote this album with, of course, the goal of hopefully getting signed to a indie label or major label, whatever. I mean...
But someone who can help you produce more efficiently.
It's
someone
like,
who
you know,
can take care of the business aspect of the music business.
Yeah.
So we can take care of the music.
Yeah, ultimately, like, reaching more people, you know, getting more fans, having more, you know... having more success, being able to have this as a job, you know, that's like kind of the,
hopefully it'll keep snowballing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like kind of the, you know, the business, you know, short and skinny of it goal. But, you know, artistically, of course we want to grow more. We want to write more. We want to do our second album and make it, of course, even better than the first album. And, I see us, you know, being around for a while, hopefully. And, you know, I'm going to be doing this for a long time. So hopefully if these guys want to, be with me, it's, they're welcome.
Try and stop us. That's the look on their face.
But, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Again,
thank you, John.
Where can we see you perform next?
Tomorrow night at the Echo in Echo Park.
Yes.
It's our CD release show with...
Free cake.
Free cake. It's 18 plus.
And a free Chris Special.
Well, you can't eat it, but you can
gravy.
Look at it. It's an exhibit. It's like a zoo.
Cake has gravy on it, too. So it's
no.
Yeah, a bunch of our friends are playing, too.
Yeah.
The Harpeth Trace, you had them in a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Get Set Go and Daniel Brummel, who is the singer for a band called Ozma. Mm-hmm. They've been around for a while.
And Raymond Richards will be playing. Raymond Richards is the nice gentleman that mixed our album and is, of course, related with Red Rockets Glare.
The
bunch
Idaho
of bands,
Falls,
Parson
Falls,
Redheads.
Parson
Redheads.
10 other bands, yeah.
He is completely,
Frankel.
You know, just a major force
He's
in
like
the
Quincy
LA music
Jones.
Scene. He's going to be playing Pedal Steel with us on a few songs.
He's assistant booker for this show. He just doesn't know it.
Totally. And he's also going to be playing Mellotron on the Harpeth Trace set. So
Mellotron.
Yeah, as he says. So awesome. It's going to be a big, nice, fun, I think free show.
It's $5.
Oh, it's $5. Okay, whatever. But it's 18 plus, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My guests have been The Chris Special. MySpace.com/TheChrisSpecial. That's Chris with a K. And this will be available for download later today from MySpace.com/ThisIsGood and IsGoodMusic.com. You've been listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much.